All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on the 24th of November, 2020. And I do want to remind you, I write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and I would welcome your subscriptions at go to miningstocks.com. miningstocks.com, or you can call our office here in New York, 718-457-1426. ChenPicks.com, what is Chen buying, what is Chen selling, especially in the biotech sector and on the oil and gas on the energy sector, as well as the precious metals and mining sector. Chen is really on top of his game in all three of those sectors. So what is Chen buying, what is Chen selling, go to ChenPicks.com. And we always like to remind you of a fellow named Michael Oliver, who's going to be with us in a couple of minutes from now. Michael's, it's olivermsa.com for his excellent MSA momentum and structure analysis letter. It's just absolutely one thing I would definitely feel really miss if I didn't have that at my fingertips. It helps me to feel confident in the markets that I'm in. And give me a warning, an early warning signal when I might keep an eye on things. And nothing more valuable than that to a longer-term investor, that's for sure. I want to encourage all of you to send along your questions, comments, whatever you might want to say to me or to our staff. Send it to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions@taylor@gmail.com. And, of course, we do want to thank our sponsors because they make this show possible. Our sponsors for this week's show, Benchmark Metals, NV Gold, Cassiar Gold Corp, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, Grand Portage, GMV Minerals, and SK Mining Corp. I've titled today's show, Waiting for the Next Herbert Hoover. John Rubino, Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver return this week. Why would anybody want to be president of the United States when America is facing an economic depression, the likes of which has not been seen since the 1930s? At least that is the question that's in my mind, and we're going to get some answers from our guests today, especially John in the second half of today's show. The root of our economic travail is far deeper than COVID-19, evidenced by the repo market distresses in September 2019, and of course earlier this year as well, when our Federal Reserve had to do whatever it takes to keep the economy from slipping over into the precipice. And so that's a lot bigger. The issue is a lot bigger than COVID-19, although that certainly has really accelerated our difficulties, no doubt about that. As 2021 unfolds, the economic landscape, I dare say, will be littered with massive corporate, city, and individual bankruptcies. And in dealing with those economic dead bodies, what policies can be expected from the next president, and how will they impact the markets and, more importantly, I would argue, our liberties and our freedom? So we'll talk to John about that, John Rubino, in the second half. And one industry that is certainly doing well now from a profit and loss perspective is the gold mining industry and, by extension, then the gold exploration companies, and Quentin Henning will be with us to update us on the successes that Irving Resources is experiencing in Japan right after the break, right after our first commercial break. But right now, I'm really pleased to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again. We always miss Michael, but he's here, thankfully, every other week, so it's great to have you again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Good to have you with me, and I know you're talking to us from the Rocky Mountains somewhere out there in Colorado, and I'm sort of envious of you, I must say. I want to ask about Bitcoin. I'm looking at your, I think it was a November 13th missive that you put out, and boy, it really showed up. Bitcoin seems to be taking off like mad, but what do you say about Bitcoin and gold? Because gold seems to be getting, you know, having a little difficult time now, or certainly not on the uptrend right now, but Bitcoin certainly is. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think there's a great technical synchronicity between the two in terms of, you know, month to month, week to week. Yeah, Bitcoin's rallying now up to a new high. Well, gold made a new high, all-time high, in August. So, you know, I don't know who's leading who, okay, you know, if you want to make that case. Bitcoin has me in an intellectual quandary. To some extent, I think that's reflected by Jesse Felder also and Fleckenstein, who, while acknowledging the viability to some extent of Bitcoin as an alternative currency, it's, of course, unbacked, but it's not run by governments, and to some extent, and I'm not fully up on all this. Bill Fleckenstein is more so than I am. It has a limit to the capacity of the, you know, how many bitcoins can be produced.
Right.
Although I understand there's some that it's questionable, but the millennials have gotten behind this. You know, they love it. It's their speculative vehicle, and it is at least not central bank produced. Although some of the central banks are talking about it. Even Powell has mentioned maybe the need at some point, once he thinks the functionality is good, that the government issue its own sort of cryptocurrency so they can facilitate a flow of money to people instead of mailing checks out and so forth, because he has a very urgent lump in his throat, which he's made clear, but a lot of people aren't aware of. It's not just coronavirus that's got him concerned, and he's at least honest in that regard. But technically, Bitcoin looks good. It looked terrible when it came on board in late 17. We were bearish as can be. That's when it first started trading on the CME, and sure enough, it collapsed. We thought it would collapse to 5,000. It didn't. It went to about 3,000-something. As it turned back up and got above 5,000, we got bullish again and remained bullish since. So it's been a, you know, technically feasible market in terms of, you know, our ability to assess it. I'm just not clear, certain, maybe I'm just too old to appreciate the concept. I prefer gold as the alternative. First off, the cryptocurrencies are, you know, they're done via the internet. And government can, to some extent, control some of those events if they want to, more so than they can coins and bullion. Especially, you know, now Roosevelt did, but I dare say that if any president attempts to limit people's ability to use or acquire or hold or exchange gold and silver, they're going to face a rebellion. So it's not a functional notion that they can do what Roosevelt did. They'll have riots on their hand. So I think gold, to some extent, is, you know, is its historical role is being played out. If you ask me right now, where's gold going, I'd say it's going to approach 10,000 an ounce. Wow. And it may do it in a couple of years. Now, right now, everybody's panicked again because of the recent drop.
Yep.
And you happen to call me on the day where we're making a new low for this pullback.
It's a great day to talk to you.
We turned bullish at MSA based on annual momentum in February of 2016, several months off the low, at a price, as gold price recovered back over $1,140. Its low had been $1,054. We've not changed our view on the annual momentum trend of gold since then. There have been four corrective moves since that breakout at 1140 in February 2016. The first one was in late 2016, and it was 18.4% drop from the high that had preceded it. Then it turned around and made new highs. Then in 2018, there was another sell-off of 15% during the first half of 2018. Then in March of 2020, there was another 15% correction, the very sharp one. Right now, we've had a 13% pullback. And in each of these pullbacks, though it scares every price chart watcher I can name, because they're looking at daily and weekly, and they see some low coming out, and they think, therefore, it's a major top, the context of annual momentum is saying, ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
These are all corrections. They're buying opportunities. They are not selling situations. We issued a logarithmic, simple logarithmic price chart the other day to our subscribers. Mm-hmm. I don't usually do this, but usually we focus on momentum. But the logarithmic price chart is very interesting. Since 1975, when we had our peak at 200, and we dropped down to about 100 in 1976, if you go from that point forward and plot gold on a monthly closing basis, dot, 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 but on a log scale, logarithmic scale, the move from the low in 76 to the 1980 high was X percent on the logarithmic scale. You could, there's a certain amount. If you take that amount and add it to the bull market that moved from 2000 to 2011, it was the exact same logarithmic move in terms of the dimension of the move. If you measure from the low we made at 1054 back in late 2015 and swing it up one more time. And remember, we're in all-time new highs on this log scale chart.
Right.
All this noisy action we've seen the last 3 or 4 months is twisting and turning above the high monthly close of 2011. Okay. If you have a third move of the same dimension, proportional dimension, it pushes up toward about 9,000. And frankly, I see no argument against that. My only argument with some folks is that I think now, rather than incremental trends in markets getting from A to Z over years, like Ray Dalio, for example, a major hedge fund manager everybody knows about, who's not a gold bug, who's suddenly become very friendly to gold over the last month or two, saying that the, you know, the Federal Reserve is effectively destroying the currency, the money unit. Investors need to pay attention to that, he said. So if we simply extend this bull market on the ratio of those two prior ones, go to 9,000. He used the word 5 years. Now, he wasn't projecting a price on gold, but he was saying that this crisis that we're facing could last over the next 5 years. In my view, it could last over the next year, because I think that incrementalism is going to go by the way very quickly, and we're going to go to chaos theory, where things happen far more rapidly than what we're used to. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But right now, the current drop in gold, I'm looking to buy, not sell.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Frankly, I think we might be there.
Okay. Well, I must say that I did a little of that myself today. Just with a couple of minutes left, then, is the dollar looking weak too at this point?
Yeah, the dollar, this is interesting. The gold drop did not associate itself in any manner with a dollar rally, did not associate itself in any manner with a stock sell-off, which a lot of people think, you know, gold sells off with stock sell-off. Well, that wasn't the case. There's no correlation whatsoever in the gold sell-off to any other normal, popularly assumed linkages. And even the commodity index, the commodity complex, the Bloomberg commodity index, is making new highs for this recovery, as far as we're concerned, is only just beginning a major bull trend. Well, how can we have gold topping, as many people are screaming?
Right.
And yet the Bloomberg commodity index is only just now breaking out of a massive momentum base.
There's illogic there. I think a week or two ago, the last time we spoke, but perhaps you were really bullish on oil. Is that really doing
it
well? I think
it's pushing over 45 now. I think it could run up into the low 50s. I think ultimately next year you could see it in the 70s. Now the real gain in the oil complex, I don't think, is oil on a percent basis. It's the oil subsectors that have been beat to effectively zero. And they're coming to life in percentages that are unbelievable. Day by day, we're seeing 8 and 9% rallies in some of these subsector oil ETFs as they explode up off of unrealistic lows. So, but there's a lot of opportunities out there, I think, in the commodity complex. And gold is still the leader of that complex.
All right.
It will reassert itself.
Very good. Well, certainly you'll be keeping your subscribers abreast of these opportunities. You do an excellent job of it, Michael, and I really appreciate your service, and I hope that some of our listeners out there will go to MSA, OliverMSA.com, and sign up. Thanks again, Michael, for being with us. Always a pleasure, and always very, very helpful to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you much, Jay. Bye.
All righty. Folks, we do have to go to break, but don't go away. Quentin Henning will be with me to talk about Irving Resources, making some real considerable progress with their project in Japan. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Quentin Henning.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Benchmark Metals is an advanced gold-silver exploration company that is rapidly advancing its Canadian gold-silver project to a production decision. Benchmark is nearing completion of its largest program to date, with up to 100,000 meters of resource expansion and definition drilling in 2020. The multi-million-ounce potential project is expected to have a new mineral resource estimate and PEA study completed in 2021. The company is backed by the Metals Group management team and believes this aggressive program will be complemented by one of the strongest commodity bull markets in decades. Visit BenchmarkMetals.com and subscribe to follow their success.
Cassiar Gold Corp. trades on the OTCQB under the symbol CGLCF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDC. Its flagship asset, the Cassiar Gold Project, is a large advanced stage road-accessible gold property with an NI 43-101 compliant resource estimate of 1 million ounces at 1.43 grams per ton gold at the Taurus near-surface bulk tonnage gold deposit, and 15 kilometers of high-grade gold prospects. The property hosts several past-producing high-grade gold mines and is in search for the next multi-million-ounce gold camp in British Columbia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.